Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and for this opportunity you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to see a day that we have never seen before. Thank you for the life you have given us, Lord. And we're thankful for your son, Jesus, who you sent to this earth, Lord, to die on our behalf. Lord, we know he suffered on that cross of Calvary. We know he shed his precious blood that has the cleansing power to cleanse us of all our iniquities. Thankful, Lord, for proving to us and to the world by your word that the sepulcher was empty. Lord, we know he's on your right side preparing a place for us in eternity at this time. We know you want everyone to be able to enjoy the joy of heaven, but to do so, we all must obey the gospel. We pray, Lord, that Brother D. Barry this evening be able to convey to us and to preach boldly those precepts and those tenets of your gospel that are necessary for someone to hear before it is too late. Lord, we pray that there is a listener listening this evening who was searching for you, Lord. We pray that he is a seeker searching for the truth. We trust this evening that Brother D. Barry will sanctify them through your word, because your word is truth. We pray, Lord, that you be with our listeners, be with everyone who has made this gospel meeting call part of what it is. We ask this prayer in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder, and thank you to all those who are on the call tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. My Brother Tommy Brooks, we are so grateful to have you on the call tonight. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're the VIP of our audience. In the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible has absolute authority, and God has given us instruction of what mankind must do in order to save their soul. It's obvious today in the world we're living in, with the pandemic and COVID-19, many are dying. Death is before us all. However, there is good news. Men do not have to die in their sin. And for that reason, we ask you tonight to open your Bible and follow along with our speaker tonight as he will proclaim to us from the Word of God what you must do to save your soul. He's specifically going to be speaking about the truth about the cleansing power of the blood. In the person of Brother John D. Barry, very well-known speaker, he speaks at the minister of the Colvin Avenue Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. Will you give him your ear? Brother John D. Barry, can you tell us the truth about the cleansing power of the blood? We want to hear that. Brother D. Barry.
I thank God so much for the privilege and opportunity to come into your homes by way of this call. I want to thank the brothers and sisters and the elders and deacons and members and ministers who have come up with this wonderful, wonderful and innovative idea of this gospel meeting. I thank God so much that he has allowed me the privilege of being part of it, and for each and every one of you who have taken part and taken time out of your day and your evening in order to listen to God's word from God's book, Divine. We are in a very dangerous time, as Brother Brooks just mentioned a moment ago. The Apostle Paul mentioned perilous times, or dangerous times were going to come. And we realize and understand that after the death and resurrection of Christ, after his ascension, that he had prepared the apostles for all the terrible things that were going to happen after his resurrection, after his death, after his ascension into heaven, that there would be those who would do everything they possibly could to destroy the Lord's church and to destroy the Lord's people. God is not willing that any are lost. And, you know, if you are lost, you have to be lost against the will of God, because God's not willing that any should perish. God wants all to be saved. In the golden text of the Bible tells us simply, in John chapter 3, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life." Man sinned. God didn't leave man. Man left God. Therefore, when man violated God's law, when man violated God's justice and broke his heart, death was brought upon mankind. God had clearly said, if you eat of the tree that's in the midst, God put that tree in the middle so there was no way to miss it. There was no way to say that I was confused or mistaken. When man violated God's law and took of that tree, death was brought upon mankind. Man lost eternal life and must regain eternal life. Jesus made a statement when he was preparing to return to heaven, when he spoke with Peter after he had told Peter that he was going to deny him. And what the Lord said to Peter was, "Let not your heart be troubled," in John chapter 14. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So therefore, when we talk about the blood of Christ, a lot of folks see it as some type of mythical discussion. We're just talking about things that are unpleasant. Who wants to talk about some man being crucified and scourged and going through the physical, mental, and anguish that Jesus went through? Well, it may not be pretty to look at, and it may not be comforting for some of us to think about, but I guarantee you one thing, that if I'm going to be saved, I've got to understand why Jesus took those 39 licks on that scourging post and why he was nailed on that cross between two thieves. Because the life that I need, that what is going to save me, was in the blood. His blood had to be shed to cover up our sins. Jesus became our propitiation. He became our substitute. I've said many times around the country, brothers and sisters, that Jesus didn't just die for our sins. Jesus died in our place. And for this reason, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 7, in speaking of Jesus and the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, Paul said in verses 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." God gave me grace. Because of God, I have grace and not merit. Man sins. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verses 23, "For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." It is the blood of Jesus Christ that removes, remits, that helps me recover, restore, revive, recreates. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is life in the life-sustaining blood of Jesus. It cleanses, it feeds, it keeps us alive. It heals, it strengthens, it fights spiritual disease. Just as the blood in our veins, the blood of Jesus Christ is that saving element. That blood purchased my salvation. In the book of John, chapter 19 and verses 34, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced the side of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, out came blood and water. In the book of 1 John, chapter 5 and verses 6, Jesus came by water and the blood. What's the purpose? What is the purpose? Hebrew chapter 9 and verses 27. We all understand as the Hebrew writer is writing to our brothers and sisters who were ready for apostasy. Basically, the Hellenistic Jews saying, nobody told us they were going to be tying us to trees and crosses and covering us with pitch and lighting us a fire to light the streets of Rome. The Hebrew writer did not apologize for their suffering. He did not tell them that it was going to become easier. As a matter of fact, he said, when you ought to be teachers, Hebrew chapter 5 and verses 12, he says, you have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the word of God, the work of God, the understanding of God. He's saying, you need to go back to first principles. What was it they didn't understand? In the book of Hebrew chapter 9 and verses 22, he said to them, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Because Jesus shed his blood, Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid down his life because only his blood can bring us salvation. Salvation from violating God's law, God's justice, God's mercy. When man in high-handed transgression walked away from God and walked toward God's enemy and our adversary. Once when Peter was talking to the brethren, understanding that his martyrdom was right around the corner, Peter said to them in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and he calls him by name, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking, Paul said, whom he may devour. And when we think about the fact that we have an opponent, we have an adversary that's doing everything he possibly can to keep me from being saved, from possessing that cleansing blood of Christ. This is why I have to open my mind when the Lord clearly tells me, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The only thing that's going to change us is that we receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word of God, which is able to save our souls. And if our souls are going to be saved, we understand that it's the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the death of Christ, because of God's grace, that my sins are forgiven. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1 and verses 7, John said, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. According to John, as he wrote the church, his beloved brothers and sisters, John basically says, if your sins are cleansed, it's because Jesus shed his blood for the cleansing of the nation. When the Apostle Paul wrote our brethren in Colossae, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 and verses 14, Paul succinctly places the preeminence of Christ, that Christ is our mediator, that Christ is our propitiation, that Christ is our substitute. As he's talking to those brethren, as the Judaizing teachers are doing everything they can to turn them away from Christ, his church, and obedience of the gospel. And for this reason, Paul said to the brethren there in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul asked the question after he had said, given thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. And then in verses 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us. That Greek word meaning transferred, translated us, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, that preeminent Christ in whom we have redemption. How do we have this redemption? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If I'm going to have my sins forgiven, if I'm going to have my sins remitted, if I'm going to have my sins removed, it's because I have had the opportunity to possess the cleansing blood of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. There are folks who say, well, I don't understand. Why should I be baptized? Why should I follow that ritual? Why should I allow myself the discomfort and the inconvenience of being buried in water as some type of church ritual? Well, my brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, and those of you around the world who are listening, this is not a ritual. That because if it came from the mouth of God, that means it's a command. You know what God is really saying? God is saying that if dying for you was the most that my son could do, shedding his blood, dying on the cross, if dying for you was the most he could do, living for him is the least we can do. So the least I can do. If the Lord said, if God sent his son to die on the cross, if my Savior took my place as my substitute and my propitiation, took those 39 licks on the scourging post, if my Savior lay on the cross with them piercing him and nailing him to the cross like a dog on a garbage heap on the outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha, if Jesus died for me a literal, real death and suffering, the least I can have and present before him is a spiritual death. Why? Because I have heard his word, and his word has changed me. And I'm going to walk away from sin. I've got to be baptized into that death. I've got to receive the benefits of the blood. How do I receive the benefits of that blood? I am baptized into his death. As Paul and James and John all tell us, Jesus had to die. Isaiah prophesied he would be led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. Jesus had to die. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, on that occasion when my Lord and my Savior had come to the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, notice what he said to Peter on that day when Peter is trying to tell the Lord, no, Lord, you can't die. Lord, I'm not going to let you die. And I want you to realize what the Lord said on that day when he had already told Peter what was going to happen. When he asked them, what do men say, or who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said that you are John the Baptist or one of the prophets. And Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter said on that day, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And then notice what Jesus said. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, a few days in the Hadean realm, will not stop me from building this church. The Lord wanted them to know that I am going to die for your sins. I am going to bring you salvation. The Bible says in verse 21 and 22, for the sake of time, that Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. In other words, Peter's saying, Lord, I'm not going to let you die. You cannot die. But notice what Jesus said in verses 23. He turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. The Lord is saying, Peter, you don't even understand why I'm here. You don't get it. I just got through telling you that flesh and blood had not told you that I was the Son of God, and now you're telling me not to follow my Father's will to fulfill the scheme of redemption. When the Apostle Paul spoke to our brethren at Rome, in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verses 8, in the book that's often called the book that changed the world, the book of Romans, the Lord said, Paul said rather, but God commended his love toward us. That word commended comes from a Greek term which means demonstrated. God demonstrated his love. As we said earlier, for God so loved the world, that word so is an adverb of degree. How much did God love us? He so loved us that he sent his love. And therefore, the Apostle Paul, talking to the brethren at Rome, Paul said, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't earn salvation. We didn't merit salvation. We didn't get it all right so that we could be saved. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died in our place. This is the reason why the Apostle Paul, again, when he spoke to our brethren at Rome, in the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through verses 5, Paul wanted us to understand the significance of baptism and the blood. How are you going to reach the blood? How are you going to reach the cleansing? How are you going to reach the perpetuation? How are you going to reach the rejuvenation, the recreation, the restoration, the revival? It's all in the blood. Therefore, because that salvation is in the blood, the Lord said, God commanded that we be baptized for the remission of our sins. Why? Within that obedient action of burying our old man, it is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from our sins so that we can rise to walk in the newness of life. The Apostle Paul said, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Are you telling me, Paul said, that we just keep on sinning so God can just keep on sending more grace? Paul says, no, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Anything dead need burying. When you're dead to sin, when you have stopped sinning, when you have ceased to live in sin, you have died to the love and practice of sin. Anything dead need burying. Just as Christ was buried from the cross, you are buried also, because you have died to the love and practice of sin. Therefore, you are baptized. You are buried in a watery grave. You are placed in that grave where the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. And this is why Paul said to the brethren there at Rome, Paul says, know ye not, don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized, notice what Paul said, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. When I am baptized into his death, I reach his blood, the cleansing that keeps me alive and feeds me spiritually and heals me. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul said. We are buried with him in baptism into death. He said, even so also should walk in the newness of life. In verses 5, Paul said, for if we have been, notice that word, planted, or united. Paul is saying when you're planted, that's where the blood of Christ, you and the blood of Christ meet. If you have been planted together in the likeness of his death. I can't take 39 licks on the scourging post from a Roman soldier. I can't go up on Golgotha's hill with the buzzards and the wild dogs and be nailed to a cross between two thieves. I can't do those things. Christ did those things for me. He became my substitute, my propitiation. So Paul says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That word resurrection comes from a Greek term, which means to stand up again. When I have fallen in sin, I tell people, in this world, there is generation. We are born without sin, without flaw. This idea of original sin and that a baby is born in sin, that is ridiculous, and it is not scriptural, and it is not true. Children are the heritage of God. As a matter of fact, God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 1, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I knew thee. And this goes back to all of those who say that a child in his mother's womb, which ought to be the safest place in the world for a child, his mother's womb, and you have folks saying that that's not a child. Well, the fact of the matter is, when we think about this and we look at this, what God wants us all to know is that we are planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So when you're born, that's generation.
you start, no sin. Then you become accountable and you sin. The Bible tells me that sin is transgression of God's law. Sin is not in your drinking water. Sin is not a virus. Sin is not a bacteria. Sin is not something that creeps up on you in the middle of the night. Sin is a decision. Man decides to sin. That's why James said, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. James goes on to say, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and is enticed. What are you saying, James? You decided to sin. You decided to transgress. You knew better, but you did it anyway. That's called degeneration. You are born, that's generation. You sin, that's degeneration. The blood of Christ brings you back, that's regeneration. And that's why Paul said, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Why, Paul? Verses 6 of Romans chapter 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, notice what Paul says, with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Paul did not say that we henceforth shall never sin. Paul says we will never be servants of sin again. Why? Because we were baptized into his death. Remember when Jesus was up on that cross, when Jesus was on that cross and had suffered for us, when Jesus had prayed for us saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When Jesus had comforted a fellow sufferer, this night thou shalt be with me in paradise. When Jesus had taken care of his last earthly responsibility, he told John, take care of my mama for me. When Jesus had cried out to his Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus then gave up the ghost, the Bible says. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished. When Jesus had done that, when all that he was responsible for doing as a man in the flesh, as a human being, had been completed, Jesus gave up the ghost. He told Pontius Pilate, you don't take my life. I give my life. Jesus gave his life. He died like no man has ever died before. He chose the moment of his death. He gave up the ghost. So therefore, when that Roman soldier took that 2-foot spear and thrust it into his side, when the Bible says blood and water flowed from the side of Jesus, Jesus didn't say, oh, he didn't say, ouch. He didn't say, oh my God. Jesus said nothing. You know why he said nothing? Because he was already dead. He was insensitive to anything that was happening around him because he was already dead. When I die to the love and the practice of sin, when I die to doing those things which are contrary to the will, the way, and the law of God, when I die to the love of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, when I die, as Paul said, to those things, I become insensitive. They don't draw me. They don't control me. And for this reason, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And notice what Paul said, and you, being dead in your sins, insensitive, the world don't pull you no more. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful thing. Forgiven all of your trespasses. Why? Because you were baptized into the death, into the blood, into the salvation, into the church of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You were baptized into his body. Jesus walked from the tomb and said, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. You are baptized so you could become part of that and wear his name. Ephesians chapter 1, 21, for above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. You're going to reach the body, which is the church. When you hear the gospel, when you hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you hear, though he were a son, he became obedient and obedient even unto death. When you hear that Jesus Christ accepted our wrong, as the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12, you are baptized into that one body. For as the body is one and had many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. When you are baptized into that body, you are baptized into his church. Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, he has put all things under his feet, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe what Paul said in Colossians 1 and 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. And then you decide, I'm changing my life because Jesus shed his blood for me. I'm going to change my life. Except you repent, you shall perish. Jesus told that woman who was caught in sin after he had saved her life and had run off her accusers by asking them questions that cut them to the heart. You know what Jesus told that woman? He said, you stop sinning. You go and you sin no more. And that's what God says to all of us. Change your life. Change the way you live. Change your behavior. Change those things that are destroying you. Change those things that make us the walking wounded in a society right now that's destroying itself, because there is a place in us, a void in us, that only God can fill. Then once I have heard what is true and I believe what is true and I decide I'm going to follow what is true, I make a confession by my mouth and by my change of behavior, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, if you're willing to let men know you believe in me, if you fight for me, if you stand for me, if you live for me, if you let your light so shine that men may see your good works, if you become the salt of the earth, if you do all you can to show the difference between the holy and the profane, you confess me before men, you're going to need me as your mediator in heaven. I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Then you are baptized. There you meet the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. This old man that used to love sin. This old man whose feet ran toward transgression. This old man whose mouth was filled with vile and blasphemy. You have decided, as Paul said, you have mortified him, saying, I will not feed you any longer. I tell people all the time, all of us are two people, the physical man, the spiritual man. The one you feed will live. the one you starve will die. If you feed the spiritual man, if you receive with meekness the word of God, if you study to show yourself approved, if you meditate on these things day and night, your spiritual man will become so strong that the physical man cannot overtake him. When you have mortified that physical man, anything dead need burying, you bury him in a watery grave, and you stand up again. You rise from that water, restored, revived, recreated. Every bad word as though you never said it. Every bad deed as though you never did it. You are a new person. You have a brand new birthday. You are born again. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good deal. And it's a deal that was paid for by the blood of Christ. And let me leave you with this. God's not going to just walk away from you. You are in his family. And in the parabolic teaching of Jesus, the story of the prodigal was to tell you about repentance. The young man who made bad decisions, left home, wasted his substance. And the Bible says one day in the pig pen, he came to himself. And every now and then, we as Christians, we find ourselves in the pig pen. We've got to come to ourselves. And he said, it's time for me to go home. Accept responsibility for what I have done and go back home to my father. He didn't say, Father, I've sinned against you. He said, Father, I've sinned against God. Because every sin is against God, and God takes it personal. The cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, you've got to meet that blood. You've got to possess the power and cleansing of that blood so that you can be born again. And one day hear the Lord say, well done, well done. Good, faithful servant, good Christian, good preacher, good mother, good father. He's not saying you never made mistakes. What he's saying is you stayed close to me and you allowed my cleansing blood to cleanse you every day by humble submission to my word. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know there is no better news than Jesus died for my sins so that his blood can cleanse me from my sins. And I thank you so much for listening tonight.
Brother John DeBerry, you took us to the cross. You pointed out the cleansing power of the blood. And you came from the scriptures, exactly what we wanted you to do. And we're so thankful that you've done that. For those who are on the call tonight, we want you to know that we love you. We ask Brother DeBerry to preach this message for those who have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. You have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, but there's cleansing power in the blood of Jesus. Once you're washed in that blood, then you walk in that light, continue to live faithful, and you'll make heaven your home. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Maybe you've been baptized before, but you're not a member of the Church of Christ. That wasn't the correct baptism. You need to be born again according to truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth that set you free. Get back with the person who put you on the call tonight, your friend, your loved one, your coworker. They wanted you to hear this truth. Be like many that we've heard of recently, because they've been listening to our calls. I've been baptized. A father was baptized, and then his son was baptized. We've heard of others who've gotten baptized, and we're talking and teaching others. Now they want to know more. If you want to hear this message again, go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there you can find all of the recorded messages, all of the flyers. You can also find our link to our Facebook, our YouTube. We put the information out there for you. But as Brother DeBerry said, you have to obey God for yourself. So tonight, we ask you to do that. If you want a Bible class, if you want us to send a preacher to your home, someone to study with you, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. To our brothers and sisters, you too must restore to the Lord. Come back. If you've left the truth, the basic truths that you're hearing today, this through our meeting, this is what we believe in the Church of Christ. Come back to the truth. Restore back to the Lord before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Tomorrow night, Brother Daniel Freeman from Kane, Nebraska, the subject he'll be talking about, the saving power of the blood. Then next week, Brother Gene Rowe from Texas City, he'll be coming to us. Brother Mark Rowe, his brother from Paducah, Kentucky, will be speaking with us. Brother Andy Aaron from Fayetteville, Tennessee, He'll be talking to us. Brother Gary Colley, my friend from Colleyville, Tennessee, coming on Thursday night. Closing us out next week, Brother Alan Webster, Jacksonville, Alabama. We got a great lineup for the month of July. We pray. Don't miss a call. Be on the call. Listen to the word of God and obey, because there is a search place called hell. There's a heaven to win and a hell to win. We love you. Let us pray to God. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you for your word, that we can read it and get the instructions on what we must do to prepare for death. We want to make heaven our home. We want our friends, family, and loved ones to make heaven their home as well. We pray tonight for our visiting friends, that they have heard the gospel, that they will believe it, they will repent, confess Jesus be the Son of God, be baptized, become a member of the Run True Church, that is the Church of Christ, your Son's church. And Lord, we thank you for Brother DeBerry and for men like him and all the other men who are volunteering 30 minutes to go into the homes of those of our listeners. Thank you for the thousands of listeners who have been calling in since the month of May. We pray, Father, for them. We pray they obey. And we pray for our brothers and sisters who have left you, who have not been faithful, that they would be revived, restored, and they be edified. These calls. Lord, bless us, Lord. Bless our effort and bless this ministry. We love you and we thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you tonight for learning the truth about the cleansing power of the blood. And we pray this prayer tonight in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. I pray each of you have a great night's rest. May God bless you.